And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So my comments are in, Boom. Are you about to submit yours too?
Mine are about to be in.
All right, man.
Put the easy access to the website to make your own comments is now on our website on the front page.
I see it.
Top right corner.
You're like a speed man. I mean, how did you do that fast? Okay, since I am technology not savvy, I am so impressed with you right now. But so go to rightsideradio.org. If you have trouble finding the site, just go to rightsideradio.org. And there's a place just out to the right. Is it on all the pages, I guess?
All the pages.
You'll see it at the up in the banner. It says Arlington National Cemetery Confederate Memorial Removal Comment Site. Good job, Boom. So there's that. Several comments already coming in, I believe. Raven from Russellville says, two things. I'll die on my feet before I live on my knees. And second, there's more of us, and we are leaner, meaner, and more willing and able to fight for this country than they are. God, family, country. Where's the downside to that life? Man. I need to print that whole thing out, hang it on the wall. Pegleg Dave from Gurley says, by God, it took congressional approval to put the Confederate monument up in Arlington. It should take congressional approval to remove it. If we forget our history, we're bound to repeat it. And I, for one, do not want to see another civil war in our country. It would affect the rest of the world, although there are days it feels like it's time. That's what he says. Pegleg Dave, appreciate you, man. And I think what they're leaning on right now is Congress, you know, the Nancy Pelosi Congress did pass the authorization to remove Confederate monuments, which included names, and you know that's why they're renaming all the bases. So I think what Arlington's leaning on is, are we required to do this? And I'm saying stop. JT Lacey Springs, if Congress approved placement of the Arlington Monument, maybe they should approve the removal, then check their approval ratings. Digging it. Scott from Somerville. The people that want the Confederate soldier memorial taken down at Arlington should be reminded that Arlington Cemetery is placed on Robert E. Lee's property from before the war between the states. It's exactly right. Arlington was Robert E. Lee's home property. And so I guess in that case, they're okay with it. But Kenny from Huntsville. Hey, Phil, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the land at Arlington, yes, there he was again, was originally owned by Robert E. Lee and his family. You're correct. The Union seized it during the Civil War and began to bury their own dead and his property as a kind of a retribution. Kenny from Huntsville. I believe you are correct, sir. John from Huntsville, and he's got a message for you, Boomer. So I'll let you read John from Huntsville's text to you. And then something came in. What do we got here? I don't know what he's trying to say to me, but Jeff from Indiana just sent me a picture of Walmart. And he says, at Walmart, shopping for mom's groceries. Just shoot me now. It's supposed to be your day off, Jeff. Anyway, all right. Listen, Boomer, you got a sound effect for me because it's time, brother. We're gonna cook up a batch of home fries. Yeah, you can smell them. Mm. All right, so this is where we take a look around our state, see what's happening in our own backyard, and just focus in on, you know, what's happening around you right now. Well, not the least of which is so. By the way, we've been on the forefront here at Right Side Radio this week of the issues surrounding the See You at the Library event scheduled for tomorrow. Tomorrow at the Madison Public Library, there's a very suddenly controversial thing going on. How dare they gather up and want to read books about faith, family, and freedom to kids? Wow! Well, it's scary, apparently. It's very scary. It's drawing out counter-protesters saying they're coming out there with their, you know, hate-filled signs, want to pass out their anti-Christian books. Kirk Cameron was on our show the other day, actor Kirk Cameron, and he was very clear about the fact that this is an important thing because this is a gathering of moms and dads and grandparents and just good old folks and kids that want to know that they are not alone in the belief that this is a country still founded on faith, family, and freedom. How controversial can that be? Well, apparently it's just too hard for the Madison Public Library. They needed at least five excuses why this can't work. Story, we made national news, by the way. Foxnews.com. Dateline yesterday. canceled. Kirk Cameron and Riley Gaines learned the Alabama Library cannot host them at Saturday book event. By the way, don't take that as a final word. I'm reading you a headline. We're waiting to find out for sure what's happening, but the national news is that the Madison Public Library did issue a cancellation notice. And Brave Books, which is the organization that publishes Kirk Cameron's children's books, and Kirk Cameron himself, and Riley Gaines, the championship NCAA swimmer, and Moms for Liberty, right here in the Madison area, are still planning to be there as far as I know. If we hear differently, we'll tell you. But I'm just telling you, we made national news. The library is trying to say, well, you said there'd only be like 20 people there. Did anyone believe for a second that only 20 people were going to be there? I mean, really? No, they actually told you there were going to be about 250 was the expectation. Well, the library says, but now we believe over 300 people are coming. That exceeds our meeting room capacity. Really? Does it? Because I got another article right here. So my friend Sheila Bannister, who's been on the show multiple times, Sheila does a great job of getting involved in the community. But Sheila's actually working with Moms for Liberty. And she sent me a picture and also to 1819 News, which published a story. Showdown in Madison, Moms for Liberty plans to move forward with the Kirk Cameron reading event, questions the capacity excuse, and says we're not backing down. Here's the thing. Apparently new signs were just put up at the library. What? Yes. I mean, if this doesn't sound scandalous and shady, so they took a photo. They sent me a picture of it. And you can find it at 1819 News. A photo taken at the Madison Public Library on Thursday shows a sign listing the building's large multipurpose room, which Moms for Liberty had reserved, saying that it had a max occupancy of 361. It's the official sign on their wall. That would more than cover the expectations of the event, the people putting it together. However, two newer signs, each of which has the date of August 1st on it, were placed over the old sign, lowering the max capacity down to 300. Really? So suddenly overnight, on the same day that you're canceling the event, you post new signs that lowers the maximum attendance or capacity. If that's not shady, I don't know what is, y'all. That's happening right here in your freaking backyard. That's in our listening area. That's in Madison, Alabama. We've got an event which is meaningful and purposeful and well-intended, and it will be calm, and it would be awesome. And if they had more people there than they had ever planned, they would still be orderly and awesome, and you know they would. I mean, what rabble-rousers come to the events where they read children's books about faith, family, and freedom? I don't think you're going to see Antifa unless they're there to counter-protest. Sheila Bannister said she's on the report of the Republican Women of Gadsden of Madison, and she also said the city canceled that group's public forum last spring at the last minute. She says, my thing is, we're setting a precedent now on shutting down conservative events? Great question. Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty is quoted as saying, I think based on everything experienced this week and the conversations I've had, it's more of a concern with the movement that we're bringing to Huntsville, the Christian values. By the way, this is a quote from her on our show yesterday. Anyway, what I'm telling you right now is, to the best of our knowledge, right here at Right Side Radio, we understand that the event is still on. I can see on my phone there's a text message. So let me make sure it's not her sending me some new information before I get too far down the road. Yes, indeed. All right, text us in from Emily Jones. How hot is that? Fresh off the press, my phone is smoking. She just sent it in about 10 minutes ago. Says, we are a go. Trying to finalize everything. We'll push out of Moms for Liberty, Alabama. We'll try to call in later once I talk to the police chief. I wanted to make sure you have the green light for tomorrow. That's Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty. News flash right here on Right Side Radio. You heard it fresh. They are on, and they are getting it done. Good for them. Good for them. I like it. All right. I'll tell you what. Boomer, we're about a minute ahead of schedule, but that's a great spot to put a pause. So maybe I can reach out to her during the break. We'll take the break right now, and we'll come right back and continue cooking up some home fries, things like Space Command and what's going on with the teachers union in Alabama. And did you hear that the Cannabis Commission is even more of a goat rodeo than it was last week? I got stuff. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we're in, Boomer, I got a call for the sound effect because I love the ambiance that it produces for me. So we are in the whole segment we call Home Fries. Yeah, cook them up. That's where we're just cooking up a batch of home fries, things that are happening around the area. So I just told you, breaking news a minute ago was, of course, that Emily Jones is hopefully going to call in later, too. But she wanted to confirm right away that we could tell y'all that apparently things are a go for tomorrow. Kirk Cameron, Riley Gaines, Moms for Liberty, Madison Library. If we get any more details, we'll drop right in on it. In the meantime, here's some other things happening around the state. So the whole Space Command debacle. The whole Space Command debacle, which is, you know, just one more cluster, one more goat rodeo coming out of the Biden administration's inability to actually govern. Yellowhammer News has a piece dated yesterday. It says the next frontier of the Space Command headquarters basing fight, which this week took the most significant turn in years, may be a congressional investigation. Representative Mike Rogers, that's one of our congressmen from, I think he's the 3rd District, Representative Mike Rogers, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, reiterated a charge that he made last month against Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall and Space Command Commander General James Dickinson, threatening to have them subpoenaed in a compelled appearance to provide answers. Here's what he said Mike Rogers did most recently. Your refusal to abide by the committee's repeated request for responsive documents and transcribed interviews can only be considered obfuscation and purposeful delay, highlighted by the fact that the basing decision was decided while the committee's requests are still outstanding. This is unacceptable. It now appears you have something to hide. Otherwise, a forthright response to the committee's patient and numerous requests would have already come. If you fail to respond, I'll be forced to seek a subpoena for the relevant documents we have requested on multiple occasions and seek your compelled appearance. So what's happening there is, in a classic example of, oops, poked the wrong bear, they not only just sort of jacklagged their way into a decision about keeping Space Command in Colorado, they had to ignore the millions of dollars that had been spent studying where it should go, all of which said Huntsville. And then on top of that, they did it to a state where one of the U.S. senators is on Senate Armed Services. One of the congressmen is the chairman of House Armed Services, one of the most powerful positions in D.C. One of the other Alabama congressmen is one of the senior members of House Appropriations that spends all the money. And one of the other freshman congressmen is Dale Strong, who what used to be the county commission chairman in the county that did all the studies and had to go through all of the inquiries and knows everything about it. I'm just telling you, they poked the wrong freaking bear. And if we can get this thing flipped over, I think it's going to take an election to make this change. But if we can get this thing flipped next year in 2024, I do believe we're going to wind up seeing Space Command come back to Huntsville. In the meantime, you know, nothing like a little politics in the basing decision. All right, here's another one. Let's see, which one I want first? I'll do this one first. So the other day I did a monologue about the Cannabis Commission. You know, that vaunted growth of government that Republican supermajority put in place to not only make government bigger, help tax you harder, provide opportunities for warrantless search and seizure, but also to help get non-FDA-approved medical marijuana in the hands of Alabama citizens. The Cannabis Commission. This has been the biggest clown show I have ever seen. I mean, the whole thing, they're in court. Again, well, here's the bottom line. Just the other day, I let you know that the chairman of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission was being called upon to resign, and a lawsuit was filed seeking to have him removed from his position. Why? Because they claim he was double-dipping. He's also on the board of trustees for the University of South Alabama. One paid position here, one paid position there, both the state funds. You can't have two state paid positions. Not supposed to work that way. All that to say, Dr. Steve Stokes, chairman of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, according to Alabama Daily News, resigned his position yesterday, actually Wednesday afternoon. He decided that it was too big of a distraction. He says, initially I was going to fight it. I thought it was the wrong thing to be accusing me of, but cooler heads had prevailed. And if I remained on the commission, it would stop the entire process until we litigated it, which could take months, and that would be the wrong decision. Well, you're right. Plus, you probably shouldn't have been there in the first place, Dr. Stokes. So there you go. The Goat Rodeo is into round three. Here's one that just irks me, but at the same time, I'm so proud. And so, by the way, I can fuss at my brethren and sistren in the legislature. I served down there for 8 years. I think I've earned the right to point some things out. But I'll also tell you this. When I see something good, I'll call it. And by the way, I'm a firm believer, and I say this all with all emphasis, there are some really, really good people in Montgomery. There just are. Some really, really good quality people down there doing things for the right reasons. A couple of them are named in this article, by the way. So talk about waste, fraud, and abuse. 1819 News has a story that apparently ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, ADEM, that'd be the same organization that couldn't figure out how to put out the landfill fire in Moody just a few months ago. State lawmakers on Thursday placed a 45-day hold on a new Osprey sculpture being built at the ADEM facilities. They were having a $116,700 steel sculpture of an Osprey made for the front of the ADEM headquarters. And you have to look at this and go, the heck, fellas? $116,000 sculpture with taxpayer dollars? Well, I'd like to say that, you know, it's okay, it was a grant or something like that. No. It gets a little worse. Russell Kelly, the ADEM Chief of Permits and Services, said at the Contract Review Committee meeting in Montgomery that the project was really just part of the entrance decor at the new Mobile Field Office, and it was primarily funded with Restore Act funds. With what? Restore Act funds. Let me just tell you what that is. Remember the Deepwater Horizon oil spill? The Restore Act of 2012 gave funding to the Gulf region to help restore ecosystems and rebuild local economies. And they're using money that was designated for the restoration and renewal of our coastline to put up a $116,000 sculpture in the front of their ADEM office. Really? I'd like to know who approved that. Well, State Senator Chris Elliott from down yonder in the Baldwin County, he's been on the show several times. He said, you know what? This is not acceptable. He said, I don't know, as good stewards of the taxpayers' money, how in the world we can justify a $116,000 sculpture for the front of a building. And then Senator Dan Roberts, a friend of mine from Mountain Brook, he says, we have other members that have some concerns, and some of those who couldn't be here and some that called it in, and I share those concerns, and they put the kibosh on this thing. It's on hold. It's not done, but it's on hold. Good for them. Good on you, fellas. All right, coming up in a few minutes, my friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute is going to call in. And I suspect we'll talk about this story. Yellowhammer News has this one. The Alabama Republican Party and the Alabama Education Association, which is the teachers' union, have become increasingly at odds. Well, they've been at odds for years. I got news. But there's a – tomorrow is the summer meeting in Montgomery. Trump dinner tonight. Business meeting tomorrow. The Alabama Republican Party is considering a change to their bylaws that would prohibit campaign contributions from state and national teachers' unions for candidates who are running for superintendent or local school boards. I'm interested to hear how this goes over with Stephanie Smith. Me personally, I understand it. I get it. We already don't allow the utility companies to give campaign contributions to our Public Service Commission, but let's see what she thinks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. And we have been cooking up a batch of home fries. And thank you. Thank you, Boomer. I thought you're there. It is cooking them up. Hey, we're going to bring on right now our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, who has a long history of working in and around state politics and policy and punditry. And Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Cooking up some home fries here in Birmingham.
Glad of it. I think you and I may be the only two right now, you and I and Boomer, that are not down at the Trump dinner. I hear they sold it out, but...
on the way or already there.
But let me ask you this. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna take an aside. Let me take a moment of personal privilege.
Okay.
You've been tracking the situation going on up in Madison with the Madison Library and the Moms for Liberty?
Yes, absolutely. Emily's a friend of mine, and I've got friends in the national Moms for Liberty movement.
You may have heard that we just got word from Emily a little while ago that they just got everything ironed out and the event is a go for tomorrow. So they have prevailed apparently. Yeah.
I actually got on their live stream last night because they had their regularly scheduled meeting last night, and I got on, and just watched their live stream. It was interesting. Parker Moore was there as the speaker, and they talked a lot about tomorrow, and they talked a lot about the legislative session. It was really interesting. Talked school choice, lots of good things.
Yeah, good deal. Well, I just think that they are the epitome of the way it's supposed to go. This is what we need more people doing, engaging in conservative policy fronts, getting out there, getting
Absolutely.
Active. And these are not the kind of people that are like paid pundits. These are Moms for Liberty.
That's right. That's exactly what they are nationally and in all the states and counties where they are. It's structured as a county-by-county organization so that they can have heavy influence on their county school boards. And it is really what it ought to be. It is true grassroots, and it's really moms and parents that are frustrated about schools and other things, and they're trying to make their voice heard. They're being vilified for it, mind you. But they're trying to make their voice heard, and they're salt of the earth folks.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, hopefully Emily's going to call in here later. We'll see if she gets time. She will, but
good.
She did text the show and said, all a go, tell everybody, so we're doing it.
That's great.
Hey, let me switch gears on you. A group that does not stand for faith, family, and freedom, as far as I'm concerned, is the Teachers Union. And by the way, people in the state of Alabama, and you and I, you and I both, I could speak for you, I think, on this. We both love educators. We have friends that are rank and file.
Oh,
I have family members. Maybe
family.
You do, too.
Yep.
But the organization itself, I rarely use this word because I don't want it to get abused, but I think that the Teachers Union is one of the most evil organizations out there right now. The AEA is also affiliated with the NEA. So if you think for a second that that's just them and not us, you're affiliated.
Absolutely. And they're the parent organization. NEA is the parent organization of AEA. And if you and I are old enough to remember the Paul Hubbard days, but then also that transition period when Henry Mabry and some other people transisted through there, and the NEA actually took over AEA and all of the administration of AEA for some period of time, I think it was about 18 months. So for them to say they're not affiliated in any way or that what NEA believes doesn't reflect what they believe, that's just a flat lie. And so it's one of those things that, if you're going to be affiliated with somebody, don't pretend like you're not. That their financial ties and their organizational ties and their historical ties with that organization. So to me, whatever NEA says that AEA disagrees with, it is on them to let us know where they disagree, and it's been crickets so far.
Yeah, crickets like every single day. And the AEA, by the way, does not just go down to Montgomery, walk around the State House, and only worry about what's in the curriculum. No, insert themselves into multiple topics, most of which you would think, why are you even here? But this past year, they crowed about having stopped school choice, stopped tax reform. Mm-hmm. And basically impeded the ability of conservative Republicans to pass certain agendas.
Oh, absolutely. I went down as president of API to testify on behalf of tax cuts, the grocery tax and that overtime tax elimination included, and they spoke against me on multiple occasions. Then also, when I went down to speak on behalf of the school choice bill, the Price Act, they spoke against me. So, you know how it's set up down there. You sign up if you're pro, you sign up if you're con. And every single time on every single issue that I went down there to testify on this year, AEA and the Superintendents Association were on the con side.
It's unbelievable.
I was on the pro side,
yeah,
every time.
And I don't think most rank and file teachers know that. I mean, some of them, there's activist teachers. I dealt with them a lot when I was in office. But
sure.
But at the same time, the majority of rank and file members have no idea to the extent that that organization impedes conservative policy.
I think that's true. And here's the other piece of that is that they don't know it. But what they also probably don't know is that AEA lobbyists, the direct ones and the indirect ones, of which there are about 45, will go around saying that they're a conservative organization because of the Republican teachers that they represent, even
yeah.
though the ideas and the things that they're advocating for are not conservative at all. So they're actually doubly using those teachers because they're using them for a funding source, and then they're using them as an excuse of how conservative, quote, I'm using air quotes, of a group that they are, knowing that they're not a conservative group at all. They're a teachers union.
Well, and the tactics are not quite as overt as they used to be. They used to be extremely
right.
heavy-handed. Like, it was not uncommon for a legislator, someone elected to represent the people, to get cussed out in the hallway by Paul Hubbert or some of the minions from the AEA. And they would send out threatening newsletters, and they would give out your cell phone number. They'd try to have your businesses doxed. And they would do anything yeah. they could to make you feel a very undue level of pressure. They're not near as overt as they used to be, but they're getting back
right.
to where they used to be. And in 2010, when the Republicans took supermajority in the House and Senate, we began the process of kind of emasculating some of that power, most of which mm-hmm. was in the form of money. They were using the state to process their dues and write them a check every month from the state.
Right.
But so let me ask you this. Tomorrow at the state Republican Party's summer meeting, there's a proposal to put a bylaw in place that would ban the acceptance of teachers union dollars if you are running for school board or superintendent at any level. Your thoughts on
right.
this?
Yeah, so there's been a standing rule, and I honestly don't know what year it passed, but there's been a standing rule that has said for years, decades even, that that Republicans are kind of, it's frowned upon if you take AEA money because they're
yeah.
the affiliate of the NEA. Also, the state party is specifically prohibited from taking AEA funds directly. And so that's just kind of the predicate. And then now the change comes with, I think the idea is to try to make sure that state school board and local school board races are not being overtaken with this AEA money. But here's the trouble with that situation. What theoretically, I agree with that because I don't believe in public sector unions at all. I don't even think they should be allowed to exist because you have public employees taking public dollars, and by public dollars I mean our taxpayer money, and using it against us in order to grow government.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time with that constitutionally in the first place. But if they're going to exist, then the people who have signed on to the Republican platform, which is a limited government platform, and a pro-family platform, should not be taking money from an organization that's diametrically opposed to those two ideas.
Agreed.
But have restricting it just to school board members, local and state school board members, really will not have a huge impact, just frankly, because the vast majority of AEA money is spent on legislative races. So API, what we do is we figure out the data and the numbers, and our whole job is to figure out what the truth is and then tell people the truth. So here's the truth.
All right.
The AEA gave the Senate $627,500 this year, this past year.
Wow.
They gave members of the House $850,000 in 1 year. Over the lifetime, AEA, of the current sitting legislators, they have given senators $1.27 million, and they have given the current sitting House members $2.35 million over the lifetime that they have been members of the legislature.
Wow.
Also, you've got a couple of members who have taken more than $100,000 from this one organization. So it's very difficult to say in a Senate race or even in a House race or even in a Senate race that somebody who has paid a third of your bill is not going to have an undue influence over your decisions.
So
we're in a situation where the Senate, current Alabama Senate, there are only 9 senators who have never taken AEA money. And there are only 24 House members who have never taken AEA money.
Out of 140 people
Republican
total.
With a Republican supermajority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I tell you what, those numbers are galling. And they're also indicative of the fact that we have a problem. But I want to do this. Stephanie, can you hang on through a break?
No, absolutely.
All right. Let's take this break. I'm going to come right back. So you just heard it right there. The Teachers Union, an organization that I'm not afraid to just go ahead and label as evil. Stephanie's had her own experiences dealing with them in Montgomery. We watched them constantly insert themselves as impediments to conservative policy. Giving money at exponential levels appears once again to Republicans. What do we do with this? And is this bylaw change, is it too light? Is it a good start? What are we thinking? Is it even constitutional? We'll debate it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, we're back on right now with Stephanie Smith, the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Hey, Stephanie, before I forget to ask, too, you guys are API, and I know this from my time there, too, usually puts these together in great factoids or white papers. Are these numbers you quoted a minute ago going to be posted on the API website at some point?
Yes, absolutely. We put together a spreadsheet, and we're making sure that it's readable and understandable to the general public, and that'll be made public as soon as this afternoon.
Oh, that's outstanding. Okay. Well, listen, so you just quoted some big old fat numbers there of current legislators, Republicans, taking money from the mm-hmm. teachers union, despite the fact that we have a, you know, longstanding platform in the Alabama Republican Party of not taking money from the teachers union. So tomorrow, let's say, for instance, this new bylaw comes up, limiting mm-hmm. for the purposes of school board races and that kind of thing. What's the teeth? What do they do? Are they going to not qualify people or disqualify people? What do they do with this?
Yeah, the resolution that's being proposed, or actually it's a bylaw shift that's being proposed, actually says that they would immediately be disqualified and not be allowed to qualify again. So it's actually pretty tough. Now, all of the administration of qualification, as you know, goes through the state GOP. So the teeth wouldn't be, you know, through the criminal court system or even the civil court system. It would be an internal decision, but it would be a bylaws change, and therefore, you know, whoever is on the steering committee of the Alabama state GOP would be, it would be necessary that they follow that bylaw.
Yeah, I've been in court several times defending clients on campaign finance law issues or campaign right. electoral issues. And usually what they happen, they have an administrative review first, like you said, at the state party level, mm-hmm. after which you can appeal that to circuit court in the county in which, you know, you live. But all that to say, so let's say, for instance, I'm spitballing here with you, but let's say, for instance, they say, okay, if you take money for your campaign, we're not going to qualify you as a Republican. You can still run as an independent, I guess. But what if you're already elected? Because they can raise money for their campaigns while they're currently in office. So what if are they gonna take away the R by their name if they've already taken office?
Yeah, it says it basically grandfathers people in. It's not that strong, but it does say. It does say that the rule actually says this. Violation of this rule would result in automatic denial of ballot access.
Mm.
So it's for next time, meaning those who are in office right now could still take AEA money, but they would be denied ballot access next time.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Yeah, it does make sense. And I would suspect that somebody somewhere is going to bring an amendment that says, don't just do it for school board meetings. Do it for everybody who runs as a Republican anywhere in the state, to include the legislature. And that could be a really positive thing, but that could also be a poison pill on the floor tomorrow as they vote.
That's right. And I have heard that rumor that amendment is coming for statewide elected officials and legislative offices. Whether or not that turns out to be the case or not, I'm not sure. But I have heard a groundswell of support for, if we're going to restrict it for school board members, why are we not going to restrict it where they're actually spending their money and have the most influence, and that's in the legislature?
Well, and I do agree with that. I mean, I would hate to think, like, for instance, Donnie Chesteen, who chaired the House Education Policy Committee, I believe it is, mm-hmm. that just really played games this past session with the Price Act, the School Choice Act that we had, and really just kind of showed himself. I would hate to think that anybody in his position making those kind of decisions is also taking money from the teachers' union that adamantly opposes it.
Right. So Donnie Chesteen is a senator who took $40,000 this past year from AEA and has taken $90,000 since he's been a senator.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, more to come on this. It'll be on the floor tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm a firm believer that something has to be done. You get into constitutional questions. What exactly is freedom of speech? Is a campaign donation from an organization considered free speech? Some would say that it is. But I think at some point, the party has to assert itself in this and say, stop working with the people who crow about impeding our party's efforts at conservative policy.
That's right. And if anybody, and not to promote AEA, but if anybody would like to see that themselves, you can read they have a weekly newsletter that they send out during the legislative session. And you can read their newsletters on their website. And some of the titles are Price Act is a Danger to Alabama Schools, The Price Act is Not Right, and The Price Act, as your listeners will know, was the school choice bill.
Yeah.
And so they actively opposed that, and then after they were successful in killing it, made sure that their members knew that it was them that were the culprits.
Yep. All right. Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute, tell folks where they can find you.
You can find us at alabamapolicy.org.
All right. Appreciate you, my friend. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. All right, there you have it. Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute, always on top of things and coming out with the information that really gets down in the weeds and helps you make those arguments. All right, folks, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.